Chapter 14. Holistic Health and Fitness Schedules. H2F training schedule development is a complex process. This chapter directs the programming and provides template examples of how H2F is delivered. Incorporating H2F training. Multiple variables impact the ability to apply one training schedule as a standard approach across all of the Army. These variables include the length of the training cycle, time until operational, time until deployment, cadre to soldier ratios, shift work, availability of the H2F performance team, equipment and facilities, MOS specific training, and environmental, austere, hot, cold, and seasonal considerations. The H2F system addresses these constraints by expanding the time required to conduct readiness training. Army physical readiness training will continue to occur at least 5 to 6 times per week for a total of 5 to 7.5 hours. The H2F system supplements this training with approximately 2 to 4 more hours per week of scheduled training in the SPRC. The expanded H2F training time permits more individual physical and non-physical programming. For example, BCT will emphasize more active recovery and strength training. It will assess, group, and train soldiers by ability for both endurance and strength activities. Both initial and sustaining phase activities will continue to include training on free weights and occupational tasks, such as foot marches with progressive intensity and frequency across more arduous terrain, greater distances, and heavier loads than previously. The length of the training cycle, MOS requirements, and mission essential tasks will determine how leaders insert these activities into the H2F schedule. Initial phase. The initial phase of H2F training refers to the physical and non-physical activities soldiers perform upon entering the Army. Initial phase training is meant to indoctrinate and condition soldiers to the rigors of life in the Army. These activities begin at varying degrees, from recruitment, continuing through basic and AIT, and up to the FUA. Soldiers are taught to use the proper uniforms and procedures to prevent injuries under different environmental conditions, as well as techniques to maximize the benefits of nutrition, spiritual, and sleep protocols. Future Soldier Program. Recruit Training. Recruit training should not be started until the individual or recruit has passed a routine physical examination at a military entrance processing station. Commanders in charge of preparing individuals and recruits for the physical demands of IMT have certain considerations. The program outlined in this chapter specifies the physical intensity, duration, and frequency of training. For the program to be safe and effective, leaders need to follow it as written. Soldiers need to conduct exercise regularly at the proper intensity to bring about desired changes in the body. Changes in the body occur gradually. If soldiers miss a whole week of physical training, then starting the week over is better than pressing on too soon. In addition to the physical training programming, leaders need to teach and follow information on the other H2F domains, particularly sleep and nutrition, to recruits. Getting started. The physical training program begins with the recruiter assessing the physical condition of the recruit. A recruiter administers the OPAT, which consists of the standing long jump, seated power throw, strength deadlift, and interval aerobic run. Graders record OPAT scores on DA Form 7888, Occupational Physical Assessment Test Scorecard. This assessment determines the recruit's starting point and appropriate placement into the FSP. The recruiter and the recruit review the scores on each event to determine which training schedule the recruit will follow: strength schedule or endurance schedule. Serious recruits commit up to 60 minutes per day to physical training 4 or 5 days per week. Whether recruits start with the walk-to-run program or begin at a higher level, their programs will improve their health and prepare them for the requirements of OPAT or IMT. Safety. The FSP physical training program is a safe and effective way to improve physical fitness. Consistent compliance with the following guidelines is the key. Always perform the prescribed warm-up and cool-down before and after the training activity. Perform only the prescribed number of sets and repetitions on the training schedule. Use proper form, precision, with fewer repetitions rather than poor execution with more repetitions. Perform all the exercises in the order listed for each drill. If a day of training is missed, pick up with the next day on the training schedule. Injury control. Injuries are not uncommon during physical training, but recruits can prevent most injuries. Many common injuries are caused by misuse, making a mistake in the amount of the exercise, or in not following the standard way to perform it. The most common injuries occur in the feet, ankle and knee joints, and leg muscles. Recruits can avoid most injuries by paying deliberate attention and concentrating on the details of the exercise, the standard for the movements. Most injuries can be best treated with rest. Ice, compression, and elevation of the injury may help with pain control. Leaders must report all accidents resulting in injury or illness in accordance with AR 385-10. A holistic approach to injury control requires proactive behavior on the part of the recruit. Recruits can control injuries. The following discussion outlines considerations that recruits can use to improve their health and fitness. Shoes. Recruits should choose an athletic shoe that is comfortable, fits properly, and is new. Most local Army training centers permit recruits attending BCT to wear personally procured shoes in FSP and for OPAT. Shoes should conform to the design of the Army-issued athletic shoe. They must be durable and appropriate for different activities besides running, jumping, turning, climbing, crawling, walking, and weightlifting. Different terrains, grass, sand, blacktop, trails, woodland, tracks, and gym floors, and various weather conditions, snow, ice, rain, intense heat, and cold. Minimalist-style running shoes might not provide protection and traction in inclement weather and on unimproved terrain such as gravel, roots, dirt, and mud. Nutrition. Recruits learn that proper nutrition plays a major role in attaining and maintaining physical fitness. See Chapter 8 on Nutritional Readiness. Good dietary habits greatly enhance overall ability to maximize potential in both physical and non-physical performance. A good diet quality facilitates psychological resilience in young adults. Successful recruits can eliminate highly processed, high-fat, and high-sugar foods in favor of nutrient-dense choices, following this guidance. Bread, cereal, rice, and pasta. Try to make at least half of these choices whole grain products, such as 100% whole grain bread, brown rice or wild rice, barley or oatmeal. Vegetables. Eat a variety. The more color on the plate, the better. At least 3 to 5 a day, especially deep green types and the red, yellow, and orange varieties. Fruit. Eat all varieties, at least 2 a day. Try to have a citrus fruit or juice, for example, orange or grapefruit, plus a blue, red, purple, or orange type, for example, blueberries, strawberries, plums, or peaches, every day. Milk, yogurt, and cheese. Select low-fat milk or cottage cheese, low-fat yogurt, and low-fat cheeses. Meats, poultry, fish, eggs, beans. Choose lean meats, round or loin, skinless chicken or turkey breast, ham, fish, or seafood, not fried or battered, egg whites, and bean burgers. Fats, oils, nuts. Add a little, but use in moderation. Cut back on fried, greasy, oily, or creamy and buttery foods. Use nut butters with no added sugar and eat nuts in small amounts. Sugar. Avoid added sugar and eliminate nutrient-poor foods like candy, dessert, and sugary drinks. Supplements. Eat whole, real foods before choosing to take vitamins or other supplements that may not have the nutrient profile and benefits claimed by the manufacturer. Hydration. Leaders provide water for hydration before, during, and after physical training activity in the FSP. Recruits drink 13 to 20 ounces of cool water at least 30 to 60 minutes before exercise. After the activity, they drink to thirst. At all times, recruits need to limit alcoholic beverages and soft drinks. They avoid these drinks after exercise as they are not suitable for proper hydration and recovery. Recruits may consume sports drinks. However, they may also need to consider that sports drinks contain additional calories. Throughout the day, leaders encourage recruits to drink to thirst, approximately 8 to 10 glasses of water per day. Hyponatremia. It is possible to drink too much water and become overhydrated or hyponatremic. Be sure to limit intake to no more than 1.5 quarts per hour, 48 ounces, during sustained exertion. Clothing. Leaders ensure that the clothing is comfortable for the climate and bright or reflective enough for outdoor activity conducted in the dark, on roadways, or sidewalks. Recruits should never wear rubberized or plastic suits, face masks, or other restrictive breathing devices during exercise or physical assessments. Personal audio devices and earphones are appropriate for indoor activity. Leaders discourage these devices for outdoor activity where they can reduce situational awareness and increase the risk of injury from other pedestrians and traffic. Heat and cold. Recruits avoid exercising in extreme hot or cold weather. Leaders try to find alternate indoor locations, schools, military morale, welfare and recreation facilities, community recreation centers, or commercial fitness facilities to reduce the risk of heat or cold injuries. Recruits also avoid exercising near heavily trafficked streets and highways during rush hours. Leaders should check the air pollution index for the local area to avoid exposure to air pollution. Heat and cold injuries. If recruits experience any of these symptoms, immediately stop the physical activity and seek appropriate medical attention. Heat cramps. Muscular twitching, cramping, or muscular spasms in the arms, legs, or trunk. Heat exhaustion. Requires medical attention. Excessive thirst, fatigue, lack of coordination, increased sweating, cool or wet skin, dizziness, confusion, or combination of symptoms. Heat stroke. Medical emergency. Dial 911. No sweating, hot dry skin, rapid pulse, rapid breathing, dizziness or confusion, unconsciousness, seizure or coma. Hypothermia. Shivering, loss of judgment, slurred speech, drowsiness or muscle weakness. Frostbite. White or grayish-yellow skin color, skin that feels unusually firm or waxy, or numbness in body parts exposed to the cold, usually the ears, nose, feet, and hands. Physical training session. In untrained recruits, improvement in physical readiness is much greater and more rapid, relatively speaking, than those with advanced levels of fitness. Because of this, low-load and low-volume strength and endurance programs can produce substantial improvements. FSP physical training sessions follow this principle. Leaders can increase volume for trained recruits so long as they continue to follow the RPE guidelines in the FSP weekly templates. For strength training, if recruits can complete 2 repetitions over the repetition goal for an exercise for 2 consecutive workouts, they can increase the weight by 5 to 10% for the next strength session. The physical training session consists of 3 elements: preparation, activity, and recovery. These elements combine to meet the recruit's training goal. That goal may be to improve OPAT scores, improve muscular strength, or improve anaerobic power. The recruiter identifies a component of fitness that needs improvement, and the recruit then trains that component during that specific physical training session. The length of the physical training period prior to shipping to IMT varies. If recruits have only a few weeks available to train and know from the outset, then 1 microcycle of periodized training will be possible. If more time is available, perhaps 60 to 90 days for a regular Army recruit and 180 days for a National Guard recruit, they can complete a progressive mesocycle of training. Recruits will be encouraged to do their best. They will be instructed on the RPE scale and how to apply that to each session. Each session and week in the FSP builds on the previous one, using OPAT improvement and other exercises that prepare the recruit for BCT. If a session is missed, the recruit moves on to the next one. If a week is missed, the recruit has to go back to complete that week. Weekly self-assessments of strength and endurance exercises and activities give the recruit and the recruiter reassurance that they are making progress. The initial part of this cycle includes light muscular endurance activities and the improvement of movement skills. These activities reduce muscle soreness and improve trunk and limb flexibility. Awareness of proper form while learning new movements will be paramount. This stage usually lasts up to 4 weeks and depends on recruits' adaptation to exercise and their projected date to ship to training. The main activity during this initial stage begins with 15 to 20 minutes and may progress to 60 minutes. Goals set by the recruiter will drive the frequency, intensity, total time, and type of exercises performed. Sets and repetitions will increase to provide enough stimulus for continuous improvement. As fitness improves, recruits should also improve in strength and endurance while their tolerance of intensity and duration increases. Once they meet their initial goals, and if time allows, the recruiter repeats assessment or proficiency in drills and exercises and may establish new goals. Otherwise, the recruits maintain their program at levels similar to the BCT schedule to reduce the risk of injury when they arrive at BCT. Injury control is the secondary effect of proper conditioning. The primary effect is physical readiness. Preparation. Preparation exercises prepare the body for the more vigorous activity planned for the main portion of exercise session. Preparation should be dynamic, involve movements of all the joints in multiple directions, positions, and planes of motion, and conducted at a controlled, slow or moderate cadence, 50 or 80 counts per minute. Cadence and repetitions depend on the recruit's fitness. Cadence does not exceed moderate cadence and includes no more than 10 repetitions of any single four-count exercise. On training days that include more focus on upper body strength and mobility, recruits perform 4 for the core and the shoulder stability drill, followed by conditioning drill 1. Recruits perform 5 four-count repetitions of each of the stability and conditioning drills. On training days that focus on endurance and mobility, they perform the preparation drill warm-up, followed by the hip stability drill. Recruits may modify the exercises until they can perform them to standard. See ATP 7-22.02 for exercise modifications for preparation drill and conditioning drill 1. Activities. Activities in the FSP are specified on the physical training schedule. Recovery. Recovery serves to gradually slow the heart rate and helps prevent pooling of the blood in the legs and feet after recruits have completed the most rigorous exercises. Recruits begin the cooldown by walking until their heart rate returns to less than 100 BPM and heavy sweating stops. The cooldown should last approximately 10 minutes and occur immediately after recruits complete the main activities. The recovery drill provides exercises designed to improve flexibility in most of the joints and reduce tightness of the muscles in the body. These static stretches involve slowly stretching muscles and then holding that position for an extended period of up to 30 seconds. OPAT improvement. Some recruits need to make improvements to pass the OPAT. These exercises help recruits with limited physical training experience to prepare for the OPAT. These exercises help develop strength, endurance, and movement skills using common strength training methods and practices. The sequence of each training session is the same as the FSP schedules: preparation, activities, and recovery. OPAT candidates with very limited running experience must avoid running on consecutive days to prevent injuries. Basic combat training. Soldiers in BCT continue to develop foundational fitness and movement skills they started in the FSP. Soldiers in BCT, OSAT, red, white, and blue phases, and basic officer leader core successions follow physical readiness training schedules that include the following drills and activities. Preparation drill. 4 for the core. Hip stability drill. Shoulder stability drill. Conditioning drill 1 and conditioning drill 2. Climbing drill 1. Strength training circuit, free weight training, military movement drill 1, running drills 1 through 6, interval aerobic run, 30-60s, 300-meter shuttle run, ability group run, release run, foot march with fighting load, recovery drill, PMCS. The first few weeks of BCT focus on muscular endurance as movement skills are built, adding hypertrophy in the later weeks. Key drills to achieve this are the strength training circuit and 300-meter shuttle run. Soldiers modify these drills by increasing the weight in the strength training circuit and running time during the 300-meter shuttle run, for example. Soldiers modify the strength training circuit to focus on different components of strength. For hypertrophy, do 8 to 12 repetitions, 60-second rest. For muscular strength, do 5 to 8 repetitions, 60 to 120 seconds rest. For power, do 1 to 5 repetitions, 120 seconds. Elastic resistance bands and kettlebells are required equipment and must be available at the platoon level to optimize training time. Missed sessions due to weather and other operational requirements are common. They should not be made up. Leaders should move to the next scheduled session after the missed one. Practice for the ACFT is permitted. The practice sessions should not focus on the soldier's score. They should focus on soldiers completing the event to standard, understanding the standard, and correcting improper performance of the standard. Once soldiers know the standards and understand how the test is administered, they should use physical training to improve ACFT event performance and scores. Repeated deadlifting, standing power throws, and hand-release push-up practice sessions are not recommended. Such repeated sessions can overtrain the muscular endurance component of fitness at the expense of the other components and lead to ACFT failures. Skeletal tissue adaptations often happen after 8 weeks of BCT. Until then, initial improvements in strength and endurance will happen largely due to neurological adaptation. Nerves get better at sending signals to the muscles. Bones, tendons, and ligaments will continue to adapt, remodel, during this period. These structures do not receive blood at the rate that muscles do, so the risk of injury is greater if soldiers overreach in training. Muscles will begin to get bigger around week 8. Muscle fiber size increases. All soldiers will have passed the OPAT before BCT. However, if they had curtailed FSPs or were deconditioned prior to IMT, it may take longer for their skeletal systems to adapt. Record testing of the ACFT should occur after a short taper or deload period and on a day prior to more intense training periods, such as field training exercises. When soldiers complete their ACFT events, the grader records the number of completed repetitions, distances, or times on the DA Form 705, Army Combat Fitness Test Scorecard. If this is not the last week of the 10-week cycle, leaders should expect higher risk of lower performance. Large companies and battalions with high soldier-to-cadre ratios should adhere to collective schedules in the initial phase. Scores from performance on drills and exercises influence the commander's choice between an endurance or strength-focused schedules. More often, commanders have a higher need for strength-focused scheduling. Unit MFTs or other installation H2F performance team members can assist with programming choices for units without organic H2F performance teams. Both types of schedules can be found in this doctrine. Endurance and strength-focused schedules will prepare soldiers for ACFT and HPDTs. Both schedules allow some individualization of programming for soldiers who need special conditioning due to injury or illness. Fitness Training Unit ACFT Improvement. When soldiers move from BCT to FTUs, they have 4 weeks to improve their ACFT scores to meet the Army standard. Most soldiers pass the ACFT in the first 2 weeks at the FTU. For those who require 3 to 4 weeks, individualized recovery will be prioritized over increasing the workouts, weight, repetitions, or distance. The 2-week schedule can be repeated for soldiers who need more than 2 weeks of improvement training to meet ACFT standards. Equipment and schedules support the following guidelines for FTU commanders to develop their ACFT improvement schedules. First week, FTU soldiers follow the week 1 schedule. Second week, FTU soldiers follow the week 2 schedule. First week FTU soldiers will be given 2 days of rest prior to taking their first ACFTs in the FTU. For soldiers requiring 3 to 4 weeks to pass the ACFT, the intensity of training is sustained, but physical training recovery is emphasized over an increase in weight, repetitions, and distance. Weekends will be rest or recovery days prior to the Monday ACFT. Strength focus days alternate with endurance days. Non-impact ETMs and aquatic training will be included. The schedule includes instruction time for ETMs, new drills and exercises, and aquatic conditioning. Joint and muscle mobilization, RD and PMCS, will be included after each session. A second session per day provides for mobility, running, and lifting skill improvement. Advanced individual training and one station unit training. Several variables impact the ability to apply one training schedule across all of AIT and OSAT. These include the length of the AIT and OSAT, the unit fill, cadre to student ratio, shift training, varying HPDTs, MOS-specific training loads, and equipment, facility, and physical training field availability. When developing AIT and OSAT unit schedules, commanders consider the following. Schedule physical training sessions 6 times per week, including 1 recovery session. Alternate strength with endurance emphasis weeks. Progress from 5 repetitions of each exercise to a maximum of 10 repetitions. Do not do more than 10 repetitions. Instead, cycle through the whole drill again or continue on to another drill. Change the number of repetitions, weight lifted, and rest intervals for strength activities to match individual and unit goals. A schedule that focuses on muscular strength will have fewer repetitions per lift, increased weight per lift, and increased rest intervals per set. Begin the strength training circuit with 1 minute per station that includes time to move between stations, so it is a muscular endurance activity. Modify the time per station to target other components of physical readiness. Progress the Landmine Drill 1, a free weight training drill, based upon physical training goals of the unit. Use running drills 1 through 7 on recovery days to promote optimal running activity, release runs, terrain runs, and hill repeats. Attach Suspension Training Drill 1 equipment to climbing pods or bars to improve a soldier's balance, core, and upper body strength. Use Medicine Ball Drill 1 to improve coordination, dynamic balance, and upper body endurance. Schedule trained AIT units to regularly complete 40 or more exercises during one 60-minute session. An example would include preparation drill, shoulder stability drill, conditioning drills 1 through 3, climbing drills 1 and 2, sprint drag carry, and recovery drill. Understand AIT running activity times are faster than BCT. Ability groups are A, B, and C. There is no D group. Schedule speed running at least once per week. Repetitions increase from 5 to 10 for 30-60s, 60-120s, and hill repeats, and up to 3 repetitions for the 300-meter shuttle run. Monitor the sustained running goal of all soldiers to pass the ACFT and the HPDTs of their MOSs. If the MOS program of instruction requires sustained run distance goals beyond 2 miles, the speed, in minutes per mile, of those runs should not be faster than the goal pace for the ACFT. Determine foot march training based on the length of the AIT cycle, MOS requirements, and the program of instruction. Army Physical Fitness Uniform, known as APFU, and ACU modifications assist with the exercise progression. See ATP 3-21.18 for information on foot marches. Leaders conduct the ACFT in accordance to AR 40-501 using information in ATP 7-22.01 and the course program of instruction. During AIT, leaders schedule the ACFT in week 14. During OSAT, leaders schedule the ACFT in week 22. In both cases, leaders may move the ACFT earlier in the cycle, especially if a cumulative FTX is proposed for the penultimate week of training. A practice ACFT scheduled at the beginning of the 2-week peak period precedes the record test. For longer or shorter AIT courses, leaders can adjust the pattern of train peak test around other program of instruction requirements. Preparation for the ACFT is built into the schedules for IMT. Frequent repeated practice of the ACFT or its separate events is not likely to improve pass rates or readiness. This schedule has event-specific practice once per week in the weeks leading up to the record ACFT. soldiers must train into physical readiness. They cannot test into physical readiness. The ACFT validates the physical training program. It is not the physical training program. Practice and record ACFTs should be scheduled on Mondays so that soldiers are properly recovered prior to the test. A practice ACFT is an exact rehearsal of the record test event. If the record ACFT is not conducted on a Monday, then no physical training will be scheduled on the day before the ACFT. If the ACFT passing standard for 2-mile run event is 21 minutes, 10 minutes 30 seconds per mile, then the standard for passing a 3-mile run cannot be faster than 31 minutes 30 seconds, 10 minutes 30 seconds per mile. Soldiers in AIT, OSAT, Black and Gold phases, and Basic Officer Leader Corps Successions add the following drills and activities: Conditioning Drill 3, Climbing Drill 2, Military Movement Drill 2, 60 120s, Hill Repeats Up and Down, Sprint Drag Carry as a Drill, Suspension Training Drill 1, Medicine Ball Drill 1, Landmine Drill 1, Guerrilla Drill, Army Water Survival Training, PMCS. Soldiers in OSAT, Black and Gold phases, add following drills and activities: Free Weight Training Core, known as FWC exercises, Front Squat, Back Squat, Deadlift, Bench Press, Incline Bench. Free Weight Training Assistive, known as FWA exercises, Sumo Deadlift, Heel Raise, Bent Over Row, Single Arm Bent Over Row, Upright Row, Overhead Push Press, Bent Arm Lateral Raise, Shrug, Pullover, Overhead Triceps Extension, Biceps Curl, Weighted Trunk Flexion, Weighted Trunk Extension. First Unit of Assignment. The FUA is a critical point for soldiers as they transition from Army trainees to full-fledged soldiers. Therefore, it is important for leaders at the gaining unit to conduct proper assessments of a soldier's physical and non-physical conditioning as he or she is integrated into the formation. H2F performance teams are uniquely staffed and equipped to perform this function. Using results from an assessment of the new soldier, H2F performance experts in the gaining unit develop a program that focuses on that new soldier's needs. A sample schedule to address a new soldier's endurance physical limitations. A sample schedule to address a new soldier's physical limitations for power. A sample schedule using hybrid approaches to address a new soldier's physical limitations. Summarized, the three schedules look like this. Endurance biased schedule. 6 days per week, 3-2 endurance to strength, plus 1 day active recovery. Lower body power schedule, 2-3 endurance to strength, plus 1 day active recovery. Hybrid schedule, 2-2 endurance to strength, with 1 day option and 1 day active recovery. Endurance biased schedule. An endurance biased schedule is 6 days per week. It uses 3-2 endurance to strength plus 1 day active recovery. Sustaining phase. In the sustaining phase, soldiers prepare for conditions specific to their occupational tasks. Occupational tasks that require heavier loads, both physical and psychological, require heavier training loads. However, the principles and physiological considerations outlined in Part 2 remain the same for every soldier, no matter his or her occupational tasks. Training programs in the sustaining phase are designed to guide every soldier and the H2F performance team that coaches and customizes the individual soldier's plan. Build 1. The Build 1 period is the first period in the sustaining phase. However, it is not the first period in the soldier's training progression. That base period was completed during the initial phase as the soldier progressed from the FSP to the FUA. In the build periods, the basic abilities established in the initial phase are further refined. The Build 1 period lasts 4-8 weeks. Leaders use this time to build on the soldier's abilities from the base period with higher intensity and increased volume of training. Training effort begins to mimic the primary goal or mission, and the period ends with a simulation of the mission or a test, perhaps an FTX or a practice ACFT. Build 2. The Build 2 period is an option when more training time is available in the soldier's schedule. Like the Build 1 period, It lasts 4 to 8 weeks, with increasing intensity and volume. Training effort begins to mimic the primary goal or mission, and the period ends with a simulation of the mission or a test, perhaps a field training exercise or a practice ACFT. Peak 1. The peak period covers the 2 to 3 weeks immediately prior to an event, such as a deployment or high physical demand mission. Soldiers cannot sustain training efforts in this period beyond 3 weeks without leading to overtraining. Typically, a period of tapering off from the volume of training for 1 to 2 weeks is included at the end of the peak period. The week of taper in this schedule reduces training volume by 50%. Tapering for a short period allows accumulated fatigue to dissipate without risking physical fitness. For those soldiers who have periodized their training over the previous months and who wish to perform well on the ACFT, they would follow the peak 1 schedule with 1 to 2 days of rest before taking a record ACFT. Depending upon the previous level of training, a typical week for a soldier peaking for a deployment or another high physical demand assignment might include the following: 5 days of training per week, 1 session per day of 60 to 90 minutes, 1 long event-specific session per week of several hours replicating event load, terrain, climate, equipment or uniform, nutrition or hydration, and tasks. Alternating hybrid days. Recovery sessions that include PMCS. AWST skill. 3 free weight sessions per week. A high RPE range with some maximum effort, RPE 9 to 10. Peak 2. Peak 2 schedules are designed to prepare soldiers for the most intense and longest duration occupational tasks and training. This might include a deployment where close combat is likely, an attempt to max the ACFT, AWST testing, or Ranger School. This schedule may be applied to any soldier, any MOS or area of concentration, and any unit preparing for multi-domain operations. The schedule is the most intense block of training described in this publication. It includes 5 to 6 days of training per week, 2 sessions per day of 30 to 90 minutes, 1 long event-specific session per week of several hours replicating event load, terrain, climate, equipment or uniform, nutrition or hydration, and tasks, alternating strength and endurance days, AWST preparation and certification, 3 free weight training sessions per week, 3 to 5 runs or ruck marches per week, ACU, boots, IOTV, or a combination of them used frequently during main sessions. Combat. Training while deployed follows the principle that the soldier is in the environment for which he or she has already trained. Training while deployed is important to sustain fitness, morale, and unit cohesion, but should not hinder the mission or degrade unit readiness. In high operational tempo environments, degradation in sleep, nutrition, and training practices have caused too many soldiers to get injured or evacuated from theater. Condensed training time and the use of limited equipment or tactical substitutions is appropriate in austere environments. In more robust life support areas, some soldiers may continue or increase the amount of physical training in their H2F programs. Equipment, personnel, and facilities may be close to equivalent to those in garrison in some cases. Planning for deployment should not assume that. Fitness testing while deployed is not required nor recommended. Testing for schools that are scheduled close to a soldier's redeployment should occur once the soldier has had time to recover after deployment. Schools that require a record ACFT to attend or graduate will accept the most recent record ACFT prior to the deployment. Transition. After reaching a peak level of fitness, completing an event, functional school, or deployment, soldiers will need to reset and rebuild their readiness. This starts with a transition period of several weeks to months and ends when a new build period begins. The main feature of this period might include self-paced rallying from being deconditioned, injured, or ill, a return to practicing fundamental movement skills, a reduction in high-intensity and high-volume training, and special emphasis on nutritional readiness, mental readiness, spiritual readiness, and sleep readiness. Other features of this transition period include 5 days of training per week, 1 session per day of 60 to 90 minutes, alternating strength and endurance days, 3 free weight training sessions per week, 3 endurance training sessions per week. Reserve component. Reserve component soldiers conduct 1 hour of training for every 16 hours of unit training during inactive duty training periods. During annual training periods, units should try to conduct physical training 5 times per week. The 3-week annual training schedule includes 1 week of individual training prior to annual training with low to minimal equipment requirements, 30 to 60 minute sessions, moderate RPE 6 to 8 for the majority of sessions, maximal RPE 10 only during practice and record ACFT sessions, alternating strength and endurance sessions. Remotely located soldiers. An ideal unit H2F program strives to give soldiers the knowledge they need to conduct their own quality training sessions between unit assemblies. The training program should increase soldier motivation so they habitually train on their own. Incorporating this training into inactive duty training periods is one way to affect motivation with the added benefit of providing commanders a readiness snapshot. For example, teaching drills during unit assemblies so that soldiers can then practice on their own raises collective proficiency and readiness. Soldiers are then prepared for subsequent inactive duty training and annual training. Features of this training schedule include the following: 5 sessions over a week, 60-minute sessions, 1 midweek recovery session, 1 condensed time session per week, 1 commercial gym session example using ETMs and STMs. The following drills may be conducted with ready availability of alternate equipment as listed. Suspension training drills 1 and 2, one-time suspension trainer. Landmine drills 1 and 2, weighted bar, pole or log anchored in the corner of a room or curb. Strength training circuit and free weight training assistive. 3 times kettlebells or equivalent weights, 2 times 20 to 40 pounds, 1 times 10 to 20 pounds. Climbing drills 1 and 2 and strength training circuit. 1 times doorway style pull-up bar. Strength training circuit. 1 times step bench or equivalent stool or stair. Medicine ball drills 1 and 2. 1 times slam ball, 5 to 10 pounds. Climbing drills 1 and 2. 1 times resistance band, 40 to 50 inches, 40 to 80 pound resistance. H2F schedules. Soldiers and their leaders are able to implement their own training programs utilizing the information in this chapter. The detailed physical training schedules may be used as written or modified to suit unit MEDOL and integrated into the other domains of nutritional readiness, mental readiness, spiritual readiness, and sleep readiness. FM 722. By order of the Secretary of the Army, James C. McConville, General, United States Army, Chief of Staff. Official, signed Kathleen S. Miller, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army. Distribution. Active Army, Army National Guard, and U.S. Army Reserve, to be distributed in accordance with the initial distribution number, IDN 110165, requirements for FM 722.